fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and here again one more day with Lloyd Greenhaw, fellow collaborator in Renewal Ministries and the international mission work that we're involved in. Lloyd and his wife Nancy have been serving as country coordinators for us, that is, directly working in countries in many countries around the world over the last 20, 25 years, and they're in town for some meetings, so I thought I'd bring Lloyd in, and he's been here with us all week telling this story about how the Lord really called he and Nancy into the life of the lay apostolate in the Catholic Church. That's expressed in many different ways, and for most people, it's living your life and your family and vocation and the work and the career you're involved in and being a living witness and being everything that you can be in that kind of a situation, being committed to excellence and working hard and being a witness to God and to God's goodness. But sometimes the Lord calls people to full-time evangelistic ministry and different kinds of full-time ministry, and that's what Lloyd and Nancy have been called to. And it's just been a tremendous week of not only a great story overall, but also, I think, a lot of just ways of understanding how God works in our lives and what we can expect from Him and how we can open our hearts to living with Him in a new way. So welcome back, Lloyd.
It's wonderful to be back, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been really great to have you here. So we ended yesterday really talking about your first foray into international work, collaborating with us in Renewal Ministries. And you made a point at the end of the show about talking about helping somebody come into greater freedom. And I thought maybe it'd be a good way for us to end the week together. What have you learned about that? What does it mean to really, what does God want to do for us to help us live in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God?
Well, Peter, even this whole idea of freedom, you know, we really had no experience of this in our former life, if you would, before we came to the Lord. But just like Jesus met the people at the point of their need. It's wonderful just to sit and talk theology. But you see, people have needs, and you have to meet them at the point of their need. And this particular sister, beautiful, beautiful lady, the love of the Lord, but, you know, the evil one had gained access through something in her life, and he began to control her. And I found out, you know, in the subsequent years and things, that so many other people have that same problem. Even the people maybe are listening today, there are slaveries, great and small. It's so easy to slide deeper and deeper in there. It might be a, you know, maybe small, it might be a slavery to gossip. It might be a slavery to drugs or alcohol. There could be a slavery to pornography. There are just many different types of slaveries. Mm-hmm. In those early days, Peter, we had really no experience. And so we tried to read, we tried to address the problems. And, you know, praise God, He's a merciful and kind. And some of the, maybe the stupid things that we did and said in those days, He still worked through us, despite our foolishness, despite our lack of knowledge and our brokenness ourselves and things. He began to work through us. And this particular time here, there was another lady that the priest brought there. Well, she came to church every day for a number of years, totally naked. And she was a little bit of a disruption, obviously, coming to church. And so we went to her house and prayed with her, and God set her free. And next day she showed up fully clothed. And the third little girl, though, was very interesting. Everybody was afraid of her because, you know, I didn't see it personally, but the priest said it, the parents said it, that this little girl could walk into a room and she could start fires. Just by walking into a room, fires would come. And so they wanted us to pray with her. And so they brought her into the room, and God gave me what is called like a word of knowledge. And I said, your grandmother, you're spending time with your grandmother. She's a witch, and she's teaching you the dark arts. And she looked at me real startled, and her parents looked at her totally surprised. They didn't know this was going on. And I said, darling, this is going to kill you. What you're learning and what you're experiencing is going to kill you. You know, right now, if you will repent of this and give your life to Jesus, He will set you free. But she wasn't willing to do it, Peter. She had too much power over people. People feared her, and so she would not repent. And so we were not able to help her. But that also was a part of our learning process, to understand that our wills are involved. And God can set us free, but God will not come in there and just totally rip out our own free choice. He wants us to understand this. And in those early days, Peter, people would line up. I remember in Ghana on that first trip, when the word got out that God was touching people and that God was healing people and God was setting people free, hundreds and hundreds of people would come. And of course, all we knew it was just to stand in the front of the room, and we'd lay hands on people and pray for them. And Peter, We would pray for hours. I would pray, and it was very hot in Ghana. I would pray where sweat was running down my leg and my shoes would squish when I was trying to walk and things. And every once in a while, my arms hurt so bad from extending them over people that I went over and knelt before the tabernacle. Everybody thought I was real holy. I was just trying to rest my arms. And after this, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to handle the needs of the people. And we began to see a certain common denominators. One of them was really reconsecrating their life to Jesus Christ, making Jesus the Lord of their lives. Another one was repenting of serious sins in their lives, which over in Africa, there's a lot of witchcraft going on and things. And so we had to repent of witchcraft and renounce witchcraft and repent of serious sins in their lives. And all of a sudden, we led the whole group through this, as opposed to each individual, which we had been doing before. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there was much less manifestations, not of the screaming and spinning on the floor and doing these things here. And people began to get set free more rapidly. And our job became much easier. And then one day, a number of years later, Renewal Ministries sent me a book called Unbound, written by a man by the name of Neil Lozano. And y'all guys understood that Nancy and I were doing a lot of this in the mission field. And so they sent the book and said, well, read this book and tell us what you think. And so as Nancy and I read the book, we said, wow, this is exactly what we do, but it's much more concise, it's more clear, and this can be replicated. Because, Peter, it's really important that people understand that they have the power as children of God. They don't have to wait and go to anybody else. They have the power by their baptism. They have to learn how to walk in the authority and to verbalize the authority God has given them. And so this began a starting point using this ministry of the five keys to freedom.
Yeah. And I think one of the graces there is to be able to see, as you're saying, that you, by virtue of your baptism, you can take authority over your life. And what can happen, as you were describing these stories, and it doesn't just happen in Africa, but it happens everywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
That if we make decisions to open ourselves to things that can hurt us spiritually, whether it's serious mortal sin, whether it's witchcraft, whatever it might be, horoscopes, or you name it, that people are really attached to, we give the devil access points, and then we surrender some of our freedom. We give him permission to come and squat on our land, if you will, right? And he starts to bind us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to enslave us. He wants to bind us, and he wants to get us trapped in sin patterns. Ultimately, he wants to separate us eternally from God. He wants us to die in our sins. And so, really, the kind of prayer you're talking about, leading people through the five keys of freedom, is something that is being done all over the world. And it's a way for Catholics to come to terms with their, or just anybody that you're ministering to come to terms with the reality of what's binding them, the responsibility they may have in this situation, the need to forgive. Can you just mention what those five keys are, Lloyd?
I would love to.
I don't want to.
I want people to understand that God does have a plan. He wants to set you free. The five keys, the first key actually sounds like two keys. It's repentance and faith. But Jesus put them together, says repent and believe that the kingdom of God has come upon you. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing is repentance. Repentance means much more than just being sorry. You know, you're in an adulterous relationship and you're sorry you got caught. You're sorry you can't do it again, but you're not sorry you offended God, you know. St. Paul said, I'm glad not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. So there's a real difference in this, which carries with it a firm purpose of amendment. You know, you need to repent of sin. You need to resolve to yourself that you're not going to do this sin anymore, that you're through with it. You're done with it and things here. And believe that no matter how big your sin is, that God is bigger than your sin. Jesus' name is above all names. Is a problem named pornography? Jesus' name is above that. Is it masturbation? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Whatever the name of your problem might be, Jesus' name is above that name. So that's the first key, repentance and faith. The second one, which we often call the master key, is forgiveness. Every culture, every place in our world, we have so many reasons why we should not forgive, why we have been unjustly hurt, lied to, cheated, defrauded, looked down upon, marginalized, all of these things. But what we don't understand, that as Nancy teaches very well, that unforgiveness is like you drinking poison, hoping the other person gets sick. Yeah. Peter, it just doesn't work. Yeah. It just doesn't work. So we call that the master key, which is forgiveness. The third key is renunciation. It's what we as Catholics do every Easter. We stand up, every Catholic in the whole world, and at every baptism, we renounce Satan and all of his evil works and all of his empty promises. All we do with this five-key model is we bring what we do every Easter. It's a Catholic prayer. It's a part of the prayers of the church, and we apply it to our everyday lives. So we renounce what is holiness in bondage, if you would, even slavery is great and small. And then the next one is authority. Stand in the authority that we have. The authority goes from the Pope to the bishops to the priests to the head of the family to the children of the family. And we receive that authority at our baptism. We become prophets, priests, and kings. We're baptized into the kingdom of God with the authority of Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden gave away that authority to the snake. People have to understand, Peter, that the devil does not come in through invasion. He comes in through deception. He deceives us. And sometimes the deception is like an Al-Qaeda cell. It kind of lies dormant until the right time when it can wreak the most havoc upon your life and things. And so a lot of times people that even when they go to confession, I certainly don't, and nobody misunderstand this. Confession is vital. Confession is necessary, and we urge everyone to go to confession. But there's two things involved in sin. There is rebellion and there's deception. And you can go to confession and you can confess the sin and you can take care of the rebellion. But if you still believe the lie, you will repeat the sin again and again and again and again. Confession is necessary. It's good. But you have to understand that we're a person of body, mind, and soul. We need to take care of the deception, the psychological, the emotional, all these types of attachments that can come from there. So the standing in the authority that we have as children of God. And the final one is somehow or another, Jesus' whole ministry was centered around to reintroduce us to the love of the Father. You know, we see in the Bible, in his parables about the prodigal son and where the father runs to meet the son. Again and again and again, we see the love of the Father. And Jesus' whole ministry was centered around doing the will of the Father and to introduce us as children of God, incorporate us into the family of God. And so understanding that each one of us has an identity. God says in the Bible that I have written your name on the palm of my hand. I've called you by name and you are mine. That we have an identity. Identity, he speaks our name. He likes our name. We like our names, but God likes our name and also our destiny. Every one of us has a plan. He says in the prophet Jeremiah, I know well the plans I have for you. I had plans for my life, Peter, and my plans were didn't work out so well. But God has a plan for my life. He has a plan for everyone out there's life, too. So the last key, if you would, is receiving the Father's blessing in our identity and our destiny. And these five keys to freedom have basically revolutionized, if you would, our understanding of what it really means to be a child of God, to bring people into that knowledge that, you know, all of you wonderful people out there, God knew your sins before you were born. Before there was a heaven and an earth, he knew you. He knew everything about you, everything you were saying to do that was wrong. And yet from the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. It's like we were forgiven, we are forgiven, and all we need to do is begin to know how to walk in that forgiveness and become children of God, which we already are. Become what we already are, children of the living God.
Yeah, bring the light of Christ right in the middle of all that, hearing, being able to hear in our own, in each heart, the words that Jesus heard from the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And those are the words that heal us, friends. Those are the words that free us. We're made for God. We're made by God for God. Jesus restored us to the Father's purpose, which is to become children of God. The Apostle John said, he gave us power to become children of God. And that's the source of our identity. It's the source of our dignity. And it's the source of our freedom. That's who you are. Receive it today and walk in it. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.